Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I tell you what, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. We got up this morning and we about fellowshipped all day over at Brother Dale's house. I tell you what, we started singing that song, Jesus, Savior, Master. There's just something about that name. The Bible said, his name shall be called Wonderful. Is he wonderful to you? Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. It'd be good for some of you every now and then. If you ever have a good long drive or something, just driving down the road, it'd be good for you. If you just stop, spend a little time, and just thank God for about everything that you can think of. I'm not trying to brag. It helped me. God'll help you. I've driven down the road a time or two, and I just determined with long drives, I'm just going to sit in the car and I'm going to thank God until I get there. Amen. And you know what? You might just be about as cold and dead as you can possibly be spiritually. You sit in there a little while and you just keep thanking God for some of the things in your life. I've driven down the car and I get to a certain place and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've forgotten. I don't remember anything else that I can say to you. There'll be some more things that come to mind. And I'll just drive down the road and just thank God and praise him for all the things that he's done for me. When I forget about the things that run out of things that he's done for me, I just start thanking him for the bad things that he's let come into my life and some of the sorrows that have helped me down the road and some of those things in my life. And I tell you what, he's been good to me. And I tell you this, it's awful hard to follow that good preaching. It's awful hard to follow. I tell you what, that was good preaching. I'm not trying to flatter you. I thank God for that. I wouldn't flatter you for nothing. I thank God for that. And there's things said in that are absolute help to me. And there's been a number of times in my life as a Christian that I've absolutely been a fool and a foolish person towards people. I'm talking about family members. And you can do things to so mar your testimony and you sit back and think you're being persecuted when, you're just being an idiot. Having to prove points and do things like that, prove a point to people, and having to just set absolutely everything straight, you can be a bad testimony to your family. Well, he also, if my dad's listening, he was probably laughing on the other end of Facebook because me and him joke around. I joke around with him, and there's certain athletes and stuff like the guy that won Augusta. I talked to my dad about it, and I act like every athlete I like is a real Christian. And I was pulling for Scottie Scheffler. I told my dad that he won because he's a real Christian. Well, my dad always reminds me because he watched something about him that every time he wins a tournament, he goes and gets a fifth of expensive liquor and drinks it with his wife. I don't know how much of a Christian that is. I don't know how much of a Christian that is. But I tell you what, I thank God for that preaching. It's never wrong to do right. It's always right to do right. And I just want to thank Brother Cobb for bursting my bubble on that. Appreciate that. The only athlete I pull for, I claim is a Christian. He ain't a Christian today, so. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I was thinking about it, sitting over there. I've told the story at our church a time or two. When I was a little boy, we had to watch my great-grandmother, and she had a pretty small house. And one day, my little brother, he got the wise idea that he was just going to hide in a certain place where nobody could find him. And he's gone for a while. Well, my mom started calling for him after some time, and He just didn't answer. She walked through every room in the house. He didn't answer. She walked around the house. He didn't answer. She started walking around the houses that were around us, and he wouldn't answer. And she was kind of convinced that something bad happened to him. I remember sitting there watching my mom pace back and forth, just in a panic, frantically just pacing back and forth, thought something happened to my little brother. And next thing you know, he pops up from underneath the bed with a big smile on his face. And this went on for about an hour. And my mom, she just chewed him out and did probably what he deserved. And but I was thinking about it the other day. Can you imagine how, could you imagine that as a mother? Thinking that you've lost your child, how frantic you would be, how you would lose control and things like that. I was thinking about what it is for us to be lost and how much God loves us. And to what extent he went to save you and to find you and to deliver you and to pass you from death unto life. Can you imagine the extent? Jesus Christ hanging upon the tree, cursed of God. You say, was Jesus Christ cursed of God? The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You say, well, who's cursed? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. If you've not continued in all things written in the book of the law to do them, you're cursed. Jesus Christ was, the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ was cursed when he was hanged upon the tree.
Yep.
And he's cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In agony, separate from God, separate from God. How far would God go to deliver you from sin? How far was God willing to go? He took the responsibility for your sin and put it upon himself. People have a hard time believing that Jesus Christ is God. I don't know why that is. I started looking at it not too long ago because the Jehovah Witnesses would tell you Jesus Christ isn't God. So I started looking it up in the Bible there in Hebrews chapter 2. He said, he saith to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Jehovah Witnesses made a mistake. They didn't take that out of their little watchtower Bible. Jehovah Witnesses' Bible must be an error. Their Bible says that he's God. Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Bible tells us, and the Word was made flesh. The Word of God.
That's right.
The Scriptures, the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That eternal has no beginning and has no ending. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's who Jesus is.
Yes,
the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I tell you what, he's God. He's God. I tell you what, there's something wonderful about his name. Oh, he passed ungodly sinners from death unto life. We were talking about it today in Brother Maury's house. We were talking about people that I've sat back and I've looked at their life and I thought, how in the world will they ever be saved? And they sit in the house of God today and they're saved. They're saved. They're saved. They've been born from above. They've been passed from death unto life. And I tell you what, I've been saved and I'm a Christian. I looked at the life and said, I don't know how they'll ever be saved, but God can. God saves ungodly sinners. Thank God for that. My mama, if she's listening, I used to sit back and wonder, how in the world could my mama ever be saved? Oh, what's impossible with man's not impossible with God. For the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved your own self. Do you what? Now, he wouldn't have took responsibility for you on Calvary.
Amen.
And I tell you what, we've got something to be thankful for tonight. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I tell you what, it's just amazing to me every now and when I think about it that he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for ungodly, hell-bound, undeserving sinners like me. Jesus Christ died upon the cross for hell-bound, undeserving sinners just like you. People with secrets, people with sins that wasn't seeking God, that didn't love God. Jesus died for you because he loves you. The Bible said here, the Bible tells us that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. We don't even begin to understand the love of God. Don't even begin to understand. Oh, he said, hereby perceive we the love of God, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. How can we perceive the love of God? You can perceive the love of God when you understand what God thinks about you. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did good, to see if there was any that sought after God. He said, they're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under the lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The Bible said, in the way of peace have they not known. What did God see when he looked down from heaven upon the children of men? That's what he saw. We see what the law of God has to say about us. We can perceive the love of God. When we look at what God thinks about us, and when we see what the law of God says about us, and we see what God done to redeem us from our sin, we can perceive the love of God. How about that? Ephesians 6, verse 5. I want to try to be quick because I just preached a little bit. That's my introduction to the introduction. Thank God. Thank God he saves sinners. Thank God. I just want to thank God that he saved my mama. I tell you what, it's still a joy to me. I don't want to get up here and dishonor, so I don't sit around and tell a bunch of things. I really don't like to do that. There's some things that I should have never seen in what you would call a Christian home. Mm-hmm. Things I should have never seen. Things I should have never heard. Some awful things.
Yeah.
But my mom has been changed.
Amen.
She's been changed.
Hallelujah.
My wife over there, you know what? She sitting in the church on a Wednesday night. My dad was preaching. Mm. She got rocked to her core. She's just always been religious all of her life. She's always been taught she loves God. She found out till she found out that she didn't. Mm. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's been really good in our home, hasn't it, honey?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. It's been really good in our home. My wife, and I'm not trying to embarrass, she was a very selfish person, very self-centered person, raised to be that way. Let me tell you something, selfishness is as wicked as anything that you do. You know what the essence of all sin is? It's self. The essence of all of it, self. Why would you kill somebody? Because you're selfish. Why would you steal from somebody? Because you're selfish. Why would you covet your neighbor's wife? Because you're selfish. The essence of sin is selfish. Why would a mother take her little child? And why would a mother have little children and get strung out on dope and get strung out on strong drink and leave their children to starve and things like that and make their children go through a life of misery and poverty and all kinds of sad and gloomy things like that? Why? Selfishness. Why would a mother abandon her child? Why would a father abandon his children? Selfishness. 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 Let me tell you something. We live in a self-centered society. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. If you're a lover of your own self, that means you're not loving others. You're not loving others. Well, I'm trying to preach. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto God, as unto Christ, rather. And I started looking at that word servant because, you know, you hear so much, there's people that discredit the Bible and try to discredit the things of God because almost, I'd say probably 97, 98% of all other Bible versions, and I've looked at every single one of them to see what they said, have changed that word servant to being a slave. And you have people that get up and mock the Bible and say that the Bible teaches that slavery is okay. And that's just not so. The Bible uses the word servant because there's a reason to that. And you find the doctrine of the servant in the book of Leviticus chapter 25. And it tells you what a servant is. And I went through the whole study, and some of y'all might find this funny. I went through the whole study, and I found out that I could have just read Brother Asquith's blog and got all the answers that I was looking for. I found that out after the fact in me studying. But while I was studying it, there were some things that I saw in it. And I thank God that I saw it. There's a difference in slaves and servants. A slave has no rights. A slave has no rights. And a servant does have rights. You find that in the Bible. You find that in the Word of God. A slave receives no payment for his work. Let me tell you something. I'm from the South. And from Mocksville, Davie County, North Carolina. One of the number one most sold books in the North during the Civil War was written by a man in Davie County, Mocksville, North Carolina. One of the most sold books in the North was written by him. And he wrote against slavery because he saw the destruction that it was causing in the economy across the South. Hinton Helper's his name, born and raised in Davie County, North Carolina. But slavery was one thing about slavery is that it isn't used to bring men up. But being a servant, when you find it in the Bible, it was always used to bring men up. You're a servant of Jesus Christ, he brings you up. When you're a servant of sin, it'll bring you to slavery. Bring you to slavery, bring you to misery. But slavery doesn't bring men up, it brings men down. But being a servant was to bring men up. The Bible said if a man waxed poor and he had debts and things that he could not pay, somebody could come in and pay those debts for him, then he could go work. That's the law of the servant, Leviticus 25. If a man waxed poor, he could make himself a servant to a man, and that man would take care of his debts, and he could live on that man's property, work on that man's property, pay off those debts, but he was receiving a payment for what he was doing. Different between a servant and a slave. And those are the main differences between it. And let me say this, the Bible, if you look in the precious Word of God, it denounces slavery. And this is just an introduction to what I'm saying. The Bible denounces slavery. For one, when we think of slavery in America, there were men that were taken from their lands in Africa against their will, and they were brought to this country as slaves. And one of the Bible verses that was used, and by the way, it was a great deal of the reason why slavery ended, was because men behind pulpits preached the King James Bible. And if they would have had an NIV, slavery would have been okay. And if they would have had an ESV, that slavery would have been just fine. There would have been nothing wrong with that. They would have been teaching the slaves that they ought to be obedient to their masters. How about that? Isn't that something? If they would have been preaching out of a RSV, they would have had to teach the slaves that they needed to be obedient, and they deserve to be beaten for fleeing away. Isn't that something? But the King James Bible don't preach that. King James Bible don't say that. The King James Bible says that if you steal men, you're ungodly. The Bible said, thou shalt not steal. And when we think of that, we think of possessions. We think, well, I stole his money. I stole his car. I stole his bike. I stole whatever. But you can steal men. And God said, thou shalt not steal. And when he said, thou shalt not steal, he said, thou shalt not steal men. That's what that means. You shouldn't steal the possessions of other people. You shouldn't steal a man. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that slavery did. Another thing, when you look in the Bible, God commanded Israel that they were to never treat strangers like the Egyptians treated them when they were in cruel bondage. Never. You find that principle all through your Bible. They were to never, ever. And you find the principle in the Bible. The Bible says that you should not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Would you imagine? Can you imagine that God took time to think about the ox that he created? And he said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. How much for the souls of men for whom he died would God think about? And so you find it all through the Bible. The Bible said not to be a respecter of persons in judgment. Not to be a respecter of persons in judgment. When people look at black people, African Americans, Asians, Hispanics, let me say this, people make a great deal about the border crisis and things like that. Wouldn't it be something if some of us Christians had enough God about us that we could win some of the Hispanics that were crossing the border?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's right.
How about that?
Come on.
I thank God for a lot of them that are coming into this. If I'm not mistaken, y'all support a missionary that came over here illegally and got born again and went back to Mexico. How about that? We spend too much time listening to Fox News and people on the radio and things like that, and they tell us how to think. Why don't you think a little bit more like the Bible thinks? Hey, how about we got more people in this country that we could go witness to instead of sitting around hating them like we've done about every immigrant that's ever come to this country? Why don't we grow up and have some people in our nation that can love them and tell them about a God that died for them on Calvary?
Yeah, glory.
Wouldn't that be something?
Amen.
I know illegal people, and I'm not gonna report them. There's hardworking Hispanic people I know. They're as good a people in this country. I thank God that they're here.
Amen.
Thank God that they're here. I tell them that. And I sincerely do thank God that they're the kind of people that I want in this country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot harder working than some people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us not to vex the stranger. That's what he said in the Old Testament. That's a pretty good principle to follow about not vexing the stranger. But Sean Hannity, the guy that went to the Jesuit Catholic school, he says, why don't you listen to your Bible? Why don't you let the Bible tell you what to think? Well, you know what, Brother Stephen, you preached a message in here not too long ago about letting the Word of God control your thinking. I tell you what, I've ran amok a time or two in my life in my own thinking.
Mm. Yeah, that happens.
I sat there and listened to you. I just said, thank God for that. Thank God. I told everybody that I could, they ought to listen to it.
Imagine.
Good. Let that Bible control the way you think. Well, go to, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. I'm trying to get to a point. I go to flea markets and things like that, and I see Hispanic people all over the place with their children in their arms. Some of the most decent people. Some of the most decent behavior. Those mothers love their children and everything. And we just sit around and revile them and curse them and wish they wasn't in our nation.
Yeah.
They're not the curse of America. Sin is the curse of America.
Yes.
Pornography is the curse of America. Doping is the curse of America. Liquor is the curse of America. Sin and rebellion and disobedience and our lack of believing in God is the curse of this nation. It's the curse of this nation. We left this Word of God and started believing everything else under the sun. We got people that sit in our church, they'll believe Fox News and they'll believe everything you can imagine before they believe what the Bible says. Why don't you believe God? Why don't you believe the Word of God? Why don't you believe what He says?
Amen.
Why don't you believe Him? Amen. Call yourself a Christian. You think you'd believe the Bible.
Come on.
Call yourself a Christian. You think you'd trust Him.
Yep.
Ain't that something? Romans chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible tells us, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. God forbid. You know what? That ought to be the Christian mindset towards sin.
Yes.
There's some folks that think, well, it's okay if I sin. God's forgiven my past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. They just love their sin so much. And by the way, it's been hit on a couple of times. There's people that are so hypity-dipity dispensationalist that the only thing they believe about the Bible is something that they could have just believed before they got saved. Or say they got saved. They believe just as much Bible being a hypity-dipity-dipity dispensationalist as they did before they said they got saved.
Right.
Ain't that something? But when some sin is in a book in the Bible, some sin's called out that they don't like. Well, that's not written to me.
Yeah, come on.
So they can discredit that sin that might even make them out to be lost.
Yeah.
They can just discredit it. That verse don't apply to me. It applies to Jewish saved people. It applies to this crowd or that crowd.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, when you really study it, they all kind of just mesh together.
Yeah, they do.
They all mesh together. And there's people that try to discredit the Apostle Paul, but there's nothing that the Apostle Paul said that contradicts the scriptures in the Old Testament.
Right. Amen.
There's nothing that he said that discredits it. I've studied it. Maybe I'll hit on it at some point. There's 70 times through the New Testament that just the Psalms alone are mentioned when it says, as it is written, or it's direct quote of the Psalms, 70 times in the New Testament, at least 70 times. And I'm a human being, so I say at least because I might have missed some. And, but the Apostle Paul, he mentions Isaiah about more than any book. Jesus Christ goes to the book of Deuteronomy. I mean, so many times he goes to Deuteronomy, Isaiah, many, many times. Jesus Christ himself. The Apostle Paul, he did the same. You know what opened his eyes to the fact that he was to go to the Gentiles? An Old Testament verse. He said, and thou gave me to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That Bible verse made it very clear to the Apostle Paul that he was to go to the Gentiles. How about that? Well, that verse was written to the Jews, so it don't matter. That was the prophet speaking to the Jews. That's how people think today. When you don't want to believe the Word of God, you can come up with all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's right.
There's people, they get all kinds of ideas about, for example, having the tradition of wearing a tie. Well, what about having the tradition of not wearing one? There's some people that have the tradition of wearing a tie. There's some people that have the tradition of not wearing one. They think that you're a hypocrite or something because you preach with a tie on and you're just some kind of Pharisee or something. Well, what about your tradition of not wearing one?
Yeah, come on.
What about your tradition of putting pants on or whatever it is that you wear?
Right.
That's the tradition of men. Why don't you run around in a skirt? Half those guys that believe like that probably would. And they probably sit and wish to God that they were Scottish or something so they could wear a kilt. Well, if you're Scottish in here, I'm sorry. And if you wore a kilt, I don't know what to say. I'm German. As far as I know, German, I'm of German descent. As far as I know, they didn't wear a skirt. So, and I guess that makes us better or something. I don't know. I kind of like my ancestral tradition better. We didn't wear skirts. As far as I know, I don't know. Well, I guess I should keep reading. He said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, as servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" How about that? There's a lot of things I'm ashamed of. "For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you become the servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." And there's something I want you to notice. A lot of times we just sort of think that this verse is just put in Romans 6:23. No, it's in a proper place and in a proper order. Proper place and a proper order. What's he talking about? The servant of sin. Mm-hmm. Talk about the servant of sin. A servant gets paid. Mm-hmm. There's a reward for the servant. Right. There's a reward for the servant. What's his reward? Verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death."
Yes. That's right.
That's the reward for the servant of sin.
Right. Amen.
Let me tell you something. There are rewards and payments for the servant of sin. You get temporary pleasure. Temporary pleasure that does not satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the way Moses thought. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he wouldn't receive the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yeah, come on.
Well, when it comes to sin, there's a payment. There's consequences. There's consequences for sin. And there's broken homes because of sin. There's shattered lives because of sin, and there's prisons because of sin, and there's homelessness because of sin, and there's little children going hungry to bed tonight because of sin. There's little children having to watch moms and dads scream at each other as they lay in their bed and they have to listen to cursing and fighting. I remember I had a neighbor, and I tell you what, it smites my heart whenever I think about stuff like this. I had a little neighbor girl used to come over and play with my daughter, that her family, they didn't speak to her like, "Come on in here, honey." It was more about 20 expletives to get your hind end back in this house before I beat a bunch of expletives. And I sat there and thought, man, that little girl has to sit and listen to that. I sit and examine myself. What do I have in me to go out and help that family? You know, I tried to be a neighbor that was kind to them. Tried to be a neighbor that was a help to them. And tried to be a help all that I could. What an awfulness. There's consequences to sin. Divorces and shattered lives and misery and diseases and things of such like that. What is the payment of the servant of sin? There's temporary pleasures and there's consequences. The reality is, and I believe somebody already said it, there is pleasure in sin for a time. There's pleasure in sin for a time, but that time runs out.
Yes.
And then the reward of the sin is, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart there's things that keep people from being saved. One of those things is sins.
Mm-hmm.
Sins.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
People love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Mm-hmm. And they will not come to light lest their deeds be reproved.
Yeah.
People say, "Why am I not saved?" Because you love darkness.
Right.
You love ungodliness.
Yeah.
You love your rebellion. You love your stubbornness. I've heard people say, I'm not rebellious, I'm stubborn. Congratulations. I'm not rebellious, I'm just a froward person. Well, congratulations. Let's pat you on the back. You're a froward person instead of a rebel. Well, I'm not froward, I'm a rebel. Well, congratulations, you're a rebel and you're not froward. Congratulations. You want a cookie for that? Congratulations. Well, sins. How about secrets? Secrets. Little secrets that we have. Little things that we don't want anybody to know. Little things that we try to keep hidden from God. Little things we try to keep hidden from our husband. Little things we try to keep hidden from our wife. Let me tell you something, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows more about you than you know about your own self. God knows more about you than what your mama knows about you. God knows more about you than what your daddy knows about you. God sees everything. Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth. How about agreeing with God about it? How about agreeing with God that it's ungodly? Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, God shall give them mercy.
Amen.
I tell you what, we like to keep our little perversion secret. We like to keep our little ungodly things that we do in our lives secret. We like to keep our little dope life secret. We like to keep some perversions tucked away in our heart. We like to keep our hatred secret. Bible said, he that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that uttereth slander is a fool.
Right.
Amen. Hide their hatred. Oh, little Gracie, I just love you. Oh, honey, I just love you. There's people that know how to say some things. They just know how to hate so well. They know how to, he that hideth hatred with lying lips is a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The reason why you can do that is because in your heart you do not believe God.
Come on.
You do not believe God.
Amen.
Hiding secrets. I just wonder what kind of secrets people have. Wonder what kind of secrets. You know what? There's all kinds of things. Me and Brother Dale were talking about it today. And I don't know why. I just thought about it. There's people so perverse today, and it's been this way for a long time. If you go to Walmart or if you go to a store, there's 100 people there. About 3 to 5 of those people probably prefer an animal over a human being physically.
Right.
That's the day we live in. That's an old statistic.
Yeah.
When I say that, I mean I'm not saying that they have just done physical things with an animal. I'm saying they would rather go get with a dog or a cow or a goat or a chicken than a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say something. I have people in my family that grew up on a farm. And every now and then they'll get to talking about, oh, this is what we did on the farm when we were little 13-year-old boys. And it's just what everybody did. And everybody was getting with the goat and all this stuff. You'd be surprised. And you know what? They say, well, that's just what we did. It's okay. God said it's an abomination.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God said it's an abomination.
Amen.
Brother Dale was talking about how some people in prison, they prefer doing some of the farm work with some of the animals. Am I telling it right? They like to do some of that farm, doing work with farm animals and dogs and things like that. And there's a reason why they like it.
Yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me not one bit if there was people in churches that didn't like it. Wouldn't surprise me not one bit. Wouldn't surprise me not one bit.
Right.
There's things that people have done to little children. They try to keep secret. Perversions. Perversions that they've tried to do to little children. And have done to little children. Try to keep those things secret. There's been people that I know. People I know sit in Baptist churches. You know what they do? They try to ease their conscience and they'll give big chunks of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be real good to the preacher. In the meantime, they're molesting little children.
Come on.
And their families.
Yeah. Come on.
Sure.
How about that?
Sure.
Oh, they just love the preacher. They just love preaching. I know some of those men, they just loved when some of those old-time preachers used to blow out men having long hair. I'd rather have long hair than be messing with little children.
Right.
I'd rather have long hair. Let me tell you something. I said it in our church. I'll say it here. I'll say it all over the world. Let me tell you something. I'd rather God take my life and kill me than for me to ever touch some little child and to ruin them in such a way as that. I'd rather God take the very breath that I've got than that happen. I'd rather God take my life than for me to bring such a reproach as some of these men that have called themselves men of God and have ran off with women and brought a reproach on the church and brought a reproach on Jesus Christ and made the church a laughing stock. I'd rather die than to be what those men are.
Right.
Rather die. If I did die, And God prevented something like that from happening in my life, I just thank God for it. I'm serious about that. Bible said, judge not lest ye be judged. I'd say I deserve to die if I did something like that.
Yes.
I'm not saying that out of bitterness or anything like that. I'm just telling you the truth. There's people that sit in church. They like to mess with little children.
Yeah. Oh,
Joe Parsons preached, and I listened to a recording of him back in the 1960s. He was preaching at Fred Potter's church in Tennessee, and he preached a message on perversion in the churches. Fred Potter's church got mad at him and said, you shouldn't preach about stuff like that. You know what he did the next night? He preached the same message. You know why? It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem. It's a problem.
Right. Come on.
Yep. And then want to cover it up. There's big old churches out there, little churches all across this land that want to cover it up, and shame on them. Shame on them.
Right.
God forbid.
Yeah.
God forbid.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm. Secrets. Mm. We like our little secrets, don't we?
Yeah.
We love the little secrets.
Yeah.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place. You might as well go ahead and believe that.
Yes,
while some of you men do what you do in secret when nobody else is watching, God sees it. Might as well just go ahead and think about that.
Yeah.
While you're doing those perverse things that you're doing in your pornographies that you look at, God sees it.
Yeah.
God sees it.
Yes, he does.
Oh, we love our little secrets. We love our little secrets. We love to get in secret and start telling little lies and gossip. How about that one? Bible said God hates a lying tongue. He that utters slander is a fool. Fool that said in his heart there's no God. Reason why you can sit and lie on people. What we like to do is we won't just tell an outright lie. We'll take a whole big heaping of the truth and take a little bit of lie and mix it in there. And it sounds so right. And we can tear people down with our tongues with a whole big heaping of truth mixed in with just a little bit of that lie. And there's people that sit in churches. They lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. And they've come. There's people I know. They come to the place. They don't even know they're lying.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't even know that they lie.
That's
probably, there might be people in here like that. You just lie, and it's just something that you do now.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
I know people, I'm not making this up. I know people that just, there was a guy, I hope to God somehow, some way this don't get out on social media, but I went to school with some people, I'm not going to name names, so hopefully, we all played baseball and football and things like that. If he just so happened to make the team, if he did, he'd be like, man, did you see those runs that I knocked in? We're all sitting there playing, we're in the game. Did you see those runs that I knocked in and see all this? You didn't ever get off the bench. You never did get off the bench. And he believed his lies. I've known a number of people like that in my life. There's a lot of them in church.
That's right.
Right.
A lot of them in church. You can convince yourself of all kinds of things.
Come on.
Oh, my.
That's right. We got them here.
Yes, sir. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Let me tell you something. God's hand's not shortened that it cannot save. Let me tell you something. Some of you that sit in here and think God can't save and God will not save, God don't save, you're a liar.
Yes.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
You know why you're a liar? Because you don't believe the record that God gave of the Son. No. You are a liar.
Amen. No.
The Bible said in the abominable, the whoremongers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the liars, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I didn't get that exactly right, but y'all forgive me. Liars. God don't save. Oh, yes, he saves.
Amen.
I'll say this. I got past pornography. I'll go back there. I'll go back to that little spot. Let me tell you something. People say think that they can't be delivered from it. I know I'm a preacher, but there's been times in my life where I've had to deal with it. When I was a little boy, six or seven years old, I had relatives that showed me pornography.
Hmm.
Relatives. And right. They, what they ought to do is go to jail for that.
Yeah, right.
And they sit and wonder why their lives are just a miserable hell. They have to pop pills just to be able to cope with life. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that out of hatred. I'm just telling the facts as what it is. I have to pop pills just to be able to wake up in the morning and cope with life. And mixing their pills with all kinds of things just so they can make it from day to day. And you look at this preacher and his God-given eyeballs. I don't have to pop a pill to wake up in the morning. I don't have to pop a pill to go to sleep. I don't have to pop a pill just to be happy. I don't have to pop a pill to do anything.
Amen.
I agree with you. I agree with you, brother. There's times when you ought to just study to be quiet about some of that stuff. But I don't have to pop a pill to do any of that. I don't. I don't have to pop. I don't. You know what? There's people that they've set and accused people like us for being weak. I tell you what. I'm just such a weak person, and I am a weak person. I am weak. But you know what? I don't have to do. I don't have to run down to the liquor store and buy liquor and spend all my money in that. There's some people these Christians, they're so weak-minded. They have to believe in God because they're so weak-minded. Well, what thing are you sitting relying upon? What kind of booze are you buying so that you can just cope with the hardships of life? There's hardships that I face. There's hardships that everybody faces. Well, let me tell you something. God gave me something in Jesus Christ that helps me in the times of sorrow and trial and heartache. Let me tell you something. When times when men shouldn't have joy, I have joy. When times when I shouldn't have peace, I have peace. When times I shouldn't have love, I have love. God will give you something like that. God will give you something like that. Or I'm a bald-faced liar. You might just think I'm a liar. Yeah, the Word of God's not a liar. The Word of God's son. Hey, some of y'all that have been passed from death into life, y'all agree with that?
Amen.
Do you need some kind of intoxicant to be able to cope? To be able, we're so weak. We can't cope. I gotta have my little joint. I gotta have my joint to be able to cope. It's amazing to me how people can be hooked on marijuana. I've heard all my life marijuana isn't addictive.
Yeah,
it's right. It's not addictive. Well, you got all these people, they absolutely have to have it or they're just not going to make it in life.
You can't walk it enough.
Right. And there's people like me that are, I was saying this about pornography. You know what? I'm at the place in my life where I don't even think about it until somebody says something about it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Talking about being delivered from it.
Amen.
Talking about being delivered from it.
Amen.
Let me tell you, the Bible said, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Let me tell you something. I know how sorry my flesh is.
Yeah. Yeah, sir.
But it's almost an extremely rare thing that I ever even have ever even sit around and think about that kind of stuff.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
right.
I've been wrapped up in it. I mean, I've been wrapped up in it. What man don't like that kind of stuff?
Right.
Let me tell you something. And he said it earlier. My flesh likes that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
My flesh likes that kind of stuff. But there's a person living on the inside that hates it. That hates it. That hates it. That's what happens when you get saved. That's what happens.
Hey,
man. Hey, man, Gracie.
Hey,
man. That's what happens. What happens when you get saved? What happens? You change.
Yep.
You're born from above. Yes. You pass from death unto life.
Yes.
You're made a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
The old things are passed away,
right.
And all things have become new.
Amen.
Get saved. There's some things that change.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, I'll quote Brother Sammy Allen when he got saved. He said before he got saved, he really liked to go down there and see a lot of those old Western movies and Audie Murphy and all that kind of stuff. And he used to drink liquor and stuff with his daddy. And he'd go to little gambling things as a little boy, teenage boy, and he'd gamble with his daddy. And he'd go down to the stock car races, and he'd go down there and he'd drink with the people down at the stock car races. He said, but when I got saved, I said to the drive-in theaters, goodbye. And he said, when I got saved, I said to the stock car races, goodbye. He said, when I got saved, I said to the gambling dens, goodbye. And he said, when I got saved, I said to the liquor, goodbye, goodbye. Hey, when you get saved, you can say goodbye. You can.
Amen.
You can say goodbye. Hey, you can be delivered from sin. We have a God that can deliver you from sin and pass you from death unto life. Amen.
Amen.
Say whatever you want to. You got a whole lot of testimonies in this church.
Yeah.
Whole lot of testimonies in this church. People being passed from death into life. There's some of us that just hated the things of God and despised the things of God. Now look at us. Bob said, whom having not seen you love, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. How about that? Oh, you'll fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
Well, thank God. I know I'm a long-winded preacher and I'm a rabbit chaser and all that kind of stuff, but every now and then I'll chase a rabbit and I'll just so happen to get on something.
Brother, it's killing the dog.
Well, where was I? I'll say this out of Romans chapter 6. Whoever you obey, that is your master.
Yes, sir.
If you will, go to the book of Exodus chapter 2. This is what I saw. I was studying all of it, and I was just sitting there thinking, why really am I looking at all this stuff? You know something about the Israelite people? They were in bondage. They were in misery. When they started out, they were servants. They were given a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
They were given food to eat and things like that. They were waxing poor. They came in, and they were helped by the Egyptian people. There arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And that servitude turned into misery.
Yeah.
It turned into bondage. Those good things that it seemed so pleasant, and it seemed so fun, and it seemed so good, turned into misery.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's Exodus 22. I went to public school, so I'm sorry, I can't count. Exodus 2. Bible said in verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Your servitude a lot of times will turn into bondage.
Yep.
Sin will get a grip on you.
Yes.
There was a number of times in my life that I specifically remember where I said, I'm done, and I couldn't quit.
Yeah. Right.
I'm done, and I couldn't quit. Sure.
Yep.
There was a day when I said I was done and it was over. And that's when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He changed me within.
Amen.
Mom.
Work.
You know what? We oftentimes think, well, I'm in the process of repenting, or I am repenting, or whatever, things like that. And you sit around and sin. You know what? You love that sin so much. And you act like you hate sin, but you love it so much. You love it. Dope has ruined people in my family's life. I have a family member right now that he's spending life in prison for the murder of a police officer. He was a drug dealer. He used to cross the border up here and around Niagara Falls and get marijuana out of Canada, bring it down to North Carolina. He was chased by the police, and they ended up being a part of killing a police officer. And he was the ringleader of it. Spent a long time in prison. Ain't marijuana good for us? Ain't marijuana been good?
Yeah.
Drinking. You know, I have the last name Vernon because my grandpa was a drunk. My real grandpa was nothing but a drunk. He was a drunk and a whoremonger. And you know what? He came. This is what he did. He came to church and he wooed my grandma, acted like he loved God and everything else. And he was just a little drunk pervert in his heart. That's all he was.
Mom.
You know what? He got married. They had a baby. My grandma would come in. I hope to God, if my grandma's listening, this don't embarrass her. She'd come in and find him with another woman. And he just drank and drank and drank, about 24/7 drunk. There's some people, they try to come to me every now and then and tell me, well, there's nothing really so wrong with it. I have no desire for drinking. Why don't you go tell people like my grandpa?
Yeah.
Why don't you go tell people that I love that they just sit around and sip liquor all the time? Why don't you go tell them how okay it is?
Right.
It's ruining them. Why don't you go tell them that it's good?
Right.
Why don't you go tell them? I had a Baptist deacon not long ago who told me that, and I tried to be polite because his little granddaughter was there. If he ever brings it up again, I'm going to tell him, why don't you go tell some people in my family that dope and drinking has ruined their life? Why don't you go tell them it's good?
Yeah.
I have a friend I was bringing to church for some time. He had liver cancer because of his drinking. Why don't you go tell him how good it is? Why don't you go tell him? Do you know what our mentality in churches today is? Am I my brother's keeper? It's all right for me to take. It might be okay for me to take one because I'm not going to be addicted. Well, there might be people around you that would be. You might have children that would be. You might have friends that would be. The Bible tells us, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Here's His commandments, that you love one another. If you love people, you'll look out for their benefit. And you'll live your life looking out for their own benefit. Philippians chapter 2, look not every man on his own things, but also upon the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? He didn't look upon his own things, but also on the things of others. Mm-hmm. That was his mind.
Amen.
He considered not his own body, but he died upon the cross. Why? Thinking about others. Well, sin progresses. That's what I was trying to say to you. Sin progresses. People think that they have control of it. There's people in here, testimonies of people that started out drinking a little bit and they became drunks. There's people that started off doing a little dope. They became dope heads. I don't care what anybody says. Most of my family that are hooked on drugs today, they started off with just a little marijuana. Now they do meth and heroin. And they do fentanyl. I have an uncle that died. I was preaching here at Youth Week the day one of my great uncles died with a needle in his arm. You know where he started out? Smoking marijuana.
Right.
Smoking marijuana. That's exactly where he started out. Let me tell you something. It's just a slippery slope. And it will progress. And it will get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you'll never get better until you get to Jesus Christ. You'll never get better. never get better. Oh, the Bible says, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed. Oh, it was tough on the children of Israel, the Hebrew people there in Egypt. I mean, it was bad. They were working all day, every day. And they were being beaten, just cruel bondage, misery. And it came to pass there as they were there in their misery and there in bondage, the Bible said that they sighed. Have you ever been under such grief and such heaviness that you just sighed? That's what the Israelite people did. Well, then it says this. I do it as a joke all the time. I get on an airplane and everybody wants to have a good attitude. I sit on the airplane and I start going, just sigh. And it helps everybody's attitude around me. If I'm waiting in line, I'll just start sighing. There's some people that sigh because of heartache and misery. He said he sighed by reason of the bondage and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. He said they sighed and they cried. Can you imagine them in the dust of the earth laboring, making bricks and things like that to build for the Egyptians? And some of them in the dust of the earth, I imagine on their knees, they looked up into heaven. They began to cry, God, would you help me? God, would you do something? I see it. When they cried, God heard them. The Bible said, and God heard their groaning, and they groaned. They groaned. Why? Because the misery of their lives, the bondage that they were in. How about that? Well, I got a couple more things, and I'll be done. The cry. I want you to notice something about the cry. There's the cry of the Israelites here in Egypt. Their lives became so miserable that they began to cry. There's the cry of blind Bartimaeus. The cry of blind Bartimaeus. Man sitting by the roadside blind. There's some of you that are blind. You can't see your hand in front of your face spiritually. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside begging. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. And as Jesus was passing by, what did he do? He began to cry. You know what he cried? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what I believe blind Bartimaeus was looking at? I believe blind Bartimaeus was looking at Jesus in the scriptures. I believe he was looking at Jesus in the scriptures. 1 Chronicles 17. You know what the Bible said? It said that I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Talking about one of the descendants of David, and he'll be a ruler sitting upon the throne forever. Forever. Who? The son of David. When blind Bartimaeus was sitting there and he heard Jesus was passing by, he said, Jesus, thou son of David. Who was that? That was the Christ that was to come. Blind Bartimaeus said, that Jesus that's passing by, that is the Christ. That is the son of David. That's the one that the scriptures were talking about. That's the one the scriptures were talking about. That's him. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, and Jesus went by and opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes. There's the cry of the prodigal son. I said something about it a couple days ago, the cry of the prodigal son. And if you will, turn to Luke 15. There's three parables in Luke 15, and I'm going to read every word of it. I'm just kidding. Luke 15. And I read it the other night. He said, and the prodigal son had left his father gave him his inheritance. He went out into a far country, spent it on riotous living, an ungodly lifestyle and all that. And he joined himself as a citizen to that country. And the Bible tells us he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine would eat. You know what a lot of sinners like to do? The Bible said he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. They like to pretend that it's all good.
Yes.
They like to pretend like everything's together. He feigned. That's to fake. There's a lot of people faking.
Yep.
He fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, there was a cry. Mm-hmm. He said, "How many?" And I want you to notice this. "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger!" Exclamation mark. "In the dust of the earth, I have pigs, and I know about pigs. Just an absolute mess, just dirt, mud, muck, and all of that. I imagine that prodigal son was there in all the muck and the mire and all of that. And as he was sitting there, he cried, "There's bread in my father's house and to spare, and I perish with hunger." The cry of the prodigal son. Then there's the cry of Jesus Christ. The cry of Jesus Christ. There's the cry of Jesus Christ on the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, as they took our darling, precious Savior, and they took him, they plaited a crown of thorns upon him. They mocked him and said, "All hail, King of the Jews." They spit in his face. You know, it's a shame about our society today. We care more about a dog or a cat or a cow or a chicken, a pig, than we do the darling Son of God.
Right.
There's people that sit in this place tonight. You care more about your little cat or your little dog or your little goldfish than you do Jesus Christ. I tell people all the time, I hope this don't offend people too much, but I have pigs and all that, and I kill them. I tell people all the time about the only animals that I do like are the ones that I kill. And I eat them. I don't too much like dogs. I don't too much like cats. But I like stuff that I can eat. And Jesus Christ, crown of thorns upon him, being beat, mocked, and ridiculed. Why? Being made sin for us. And all the wrath of God was being put upon him.
Hallelujah.
Your sin, Bible says this, he tasted death for every man. There's a difference between every and all. All speaks collectively, every speaks singularly.
Yeah.
He tasted the death of every person in this building. He tasted your personal death. He tasted your personal death. He was made your sin. And all the wrath of God was put upon Jesus Christ. And God totally abandoned him. God totally abandoned him. His friends totally abandoned him. No, the Bible said no man cared for his soul. And on the cross, as Psalm 22 says, "My God," he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the voice of my roaring?" That's what it says. Jesus on the cross. There's Jesus Christ there in the lower parts of the earth. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. The Bible said he drew me out of many waters. Drew me out of many waters. He brought him to a large place. And then on the third day, the Bible tells us that he was raised up out of the grave.
Yes,
hallelujah. Oh, and because he lives again, we can live again.
Amen.
We have life because he's alive.
Right.
He's raised. Then he went and the Bible said he told, I believe it was Mary, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father's kingdom." Not touch me not. He was the high priest.
Yeah.
The high priest was not to be touched. And he went up. I don't care what John MacArthur says. I don't care what any of those folks say. Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, which if you're a hyper-dispensationalist, you don't have to believe that. But for us Bible believers, we believe it. And what did he do? Bible said that tabernacle that was built in the wilderness was a picture of the one in heaven.
Amen.
They took that blood in the Old Testament and they sprinkled it upon the mercy seat in that temple, in the holy place, sprinkled it. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ himself took his blood and he sprinkled it in heaven. And he obtained eternal redemption for us. And we're washed and we're clean. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But in the lower parts of the earth, he cried and the Lord heard him.
Amen.
And I tell you what, if you'll ever get sick of your sin,
right,
you get sick of what you've done to a holy God,
right,
and you cry to him,
yeah,
There's a principle in the Bible of God's repentance. I really do want to be done. There's a principle in the Bible of God's repentance.
Amen.
When God repented, that's a part of this. When the Israelite people disobeyed God, God repented. God changed his mind about what he was doing to them. You know what? In Isaiah 53, if you'll turn there real quick, I just want you to see something. It don't say that God repented verbatim, but you see the repentance of God in it. Isaiah 53. I tell you what, I love this chapter in the Bible. Yet, in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. What was the mind of God? To pour his wrath out upon him. What was the mind of God? To bruise him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And the sin offering was burned. And the soul of Christ was in hell. And he said, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of the soul and shall be satisfied. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ cried in hell, God heard it and God repented. And God drew him out of many waters. He drew him out of many waters. Let me tell you something. If you'll ever see yourself like God sees you,
yes,
and you cry to him, he'll hear you and he'll repent and he'll save you. And he'll make a new person out of you.
Amen.
Brother Dale.
Amen.
Well, thank God for the preaching tonight. I got some help. I thank God for it.
Amen.
Thank God for that price that Jesus Christ paid. I'm just going to leave on the road.